I'm so thankful that we can assemble here this morning. In fact, I want us to consider a group that assembles that we read about in Acts chapter 10. So if you want to be looking in Acts chapter 10, we'll spend most of our time in this lesson in that chapter. I want us to consider a group that assembles. And even though they were not assembled per se for a worship service, they were not yet Christians, the majority of them. But notice a statement that's made in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. These are words that are spoken by Cornelius about his sending for the apostle Paul. Back in verse 6 of Acts chapter 10, an angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius a few days earlier and told him to send for the apostle Peter, who was in Joppa. And it says in Acts 10 and verse 6, he will tell you what you must do. Interesting, in the previous chapter, the Lord appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, and he spoke of him getting together with a man that will tell you what to do, a man we know by the name of Ananias. God used people to spread the word. And the angel of the Lord tells him that Peter will tell you what you must do. So without hesitation, it says immediately, this devout man that we read about in the first couple of verses, very good characteristics, but he set in motion the directions given to him by the angel of the Lord. And in verses 7 and 8 of Acts 10, we read, and when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among them who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. And that was where the apostle Peter was at that time. So Peter and six brethren came with him and returned with those that Cornelius had sent from Caesarea. And group of people returned to Caesarea with Peter and the brethren that came with him. And the apostle Peter came to Caesarea to go into a family, a household of Gentiles. And this, I believe, is a good standpoint for us to look at for several reasons when we assemble, and I want us to look at three that we get from this one verse, Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Again, it says, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. That's Cornelius speaking to the apostle Peter. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Let's consider three things that are listed in this verse. First of all, the readiness. Notice the word immediately, that Cornelius, when he was given those instructions, he did not waste any time. And when Peter arrives, it says, now therefore we are all present. Now we don't know the number of people that were there, but we do know that when the apostle Peter came to Caesarea for this meeting, that he found, it says in verse 27, many who had come together. And that was no accident. There was a reason for that. It's because Cornelius was waiting for a preacher to come, and he had been busy getting others to be there. Notice in verse 24, it says, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Cornelius undoubtedly wanted others to hear what he was going to hear. He wasn't ashamed of it, and we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. And this is where the Greek, the Gentiles, would hear the gospel. There was no reason to be ashamed. If there were things that he needed to hear, he wanted his friends and relatives to hear these things as well. If he could benefit from these things, if these things could save his soul eternally, he wanted others to benefit that way And that's a wonderful attitude to have. It would be wonderful if we all had the same attitude towards our assemblies. Sometimes we invite friends and relatives to all kinds of events and endeavors. But do we invite them to come and to hear the gospel preached? Cornelius did. And there were those who accepted the invitation. There were many that were there. And there's no greater advertisement, I believe, in the world than inviting people, personally inviting them to come and hear the gospel. Consider again, now therefore we are all present. Could you imagine if each and every member was present here every time they could possibly be here in every assembly? And also have invited invited others to come. There are those who are sick and they are not expected to be present in such a condition. It's certainly understandable. But what about those who are able, but they had rather be doing something else than being a part of the assembly? What about those who prefer doing something other than worshiping the Lord? I think I passed a lot of people with such endeavors today. But think about Cornelius. He's a good example for us. He went and invited others, family and friends, and they were assembled there waiting to hear the gospel. They were ready. They were excited about that. And I think about that passage that Brother Mark read to us from Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting each other, excited to be here, eager to worship the Creator, eager to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love the expression that we saw that the Apostle Peter wrote in his second letter there in the introduction, writing to people of like precious faith. I've always loved that expression. That's something that we share, a like precious faith to God. Plan to be here, be excited to be here, invite others to be here. Satan is a provider of many excuses. Who are we going to listen to? The Lord or Satan? They show their readiness. But also we see in this assembly in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, their reverence. They were present before God. When Cornelius and his guests had come together to hear the message from God through Peter, they knew that they were in the presence of God. Now Cornelius needed to understand this better. He didn't need to worship the angel of the Lord, and I don't think he even attempted to, but he did attempt when he saw the Apostle Peter. It says in verse 25 of Acts 10, when he saw the Apostle Peter coming, he got down at Peter's feet, and it says began to worship him. Peter did not come there to be worshiped. He came there to tell them about the one they needed to be concerned about worshiping. Peter says in verse 26, it says that he lifted him up and he said to Cornelius, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." When we come together, we need to realize we're in the presence of God and we need to respect that and show reverence about that, a godly fear. Judging by their response, they were attentive to the things that were preached. Again, in Hebrews, this time chapter 12 and verse 28, we read, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." We're in the presence of God when we assemble. We need to conduct ourselves with reverence. When I think about the kind of fear that I'm to have towards God, it's not like fearing a snake. And I tell you what, Maybe Mike Jones is the only one that fears snakes more than me. But I'd be a close second, Mike. But I don't like being around them. I don't believe we're supposed to fear God like that, where we don't want to be around Him. In fact, I think our fear is to be that we will be separated from Him. You remember in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus teaches those He's sending out, don't fear man what they can do to you. Fear God. He can not only destroy your body, He can destroy, it says, not your body, He can destroy your soul. You can be separated from Him forever. That's what hell is in the presence of. Now, God is a just God, and He desires to be with us forever. That's why He sent His Son to die. Our fear should be being separated from Him. Therefore, we reverence Him, we respect Him, we look to His word for authority in all that we do, seeking to please Him and not man. And also, we fear of being eternally separated with Him. So how do we guard against that? Well, read 2 Peter, the first chapter, like we studied this morning in class. Growing in these graces that are listed there. Diligently doing that. And if these things are in us and abound, we're not going to be barren and unfruitful. We will have that promised home in heaven with God, and we can rely on that. We should arrive here on time. We should participate in the singing, listen carefully to the prayers and scripture reading. We should listen with the intent of obeying what we hear. It's the Word of God. It tells us how we are to live. And I believe we can see by their response at this assembly that they realized and reverenced God as the Creator, the one worthy of being worshipped, and telling us how we're to live so that we can have a home with Him in heaven. But finally this morning, the third thing about this assembly I want us to understand is their reason. Not only do we see their readiness, their reverence, but we see the reason they came together. It was to hear all the things commanded by God. They had not come to be entertained. They had not come to be amused. There were probably other groups getting together then for that purpose. They were there to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most important message ever preached. Some, though, through the years, I believe, have felt like they come to services and they do not get anything from the services. And we wonder what they're looking for. Are they looking to be taught the Word of God? Are they looking for the spiritual things to participate in that God has given us? They did not share the same purpose, I think, as Cornelius and his household and his friends, his guests that came together. They were looking to hear all the things that God had commanded. That's what they wanted to hear. And I think about Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. Let me read that to you. Romans 10, verses 13 and 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In essence, I believe what Cornelius and those assembled here this day that we read about in Acts chapter 10 are warning is to hear the whole counsel of God. They're saying, in essence, lay it on us, whatever God wants us to know. That's what we want to hear. Do not hold it back. Do not keep it from us. They are interested in all the things commanded by the Almighty, by our Creator. Some people today, I'm afraid, just desire a portion of the truth. Some truth they do not desire to hear. They don't want to hear it. They get upset when they do. And such an attitude can take the very heart out of our assemblies. We need to be sure the whole council is what we desire. The Apostle Peter came to preach the gospel, and those who had gathered wanted to hear all things commanded by God. Neither the speaker nor the audience had interest in speculative theories, philosophies, or rhetoric. They wanted to hear the word of God. And I'm afraid that sometimes when you visit places, that scripture is hardly used in lessons. Bible studies. A lot of it is just things other than what the Bible actually says. And that's a scary thing. And my friends, we need to be sure and guard ourselves and be steadfast in the Word of God. The traditions of man cannot save us. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that has the power to save. Again, Romans 1 and verse 16. And when we come here, you should expect to hear the Bible. You should expect to hear the gospel preached. We should desire to hear the whole Word of God without addition or subtraction. When the Apostle Peter came to preach in Caesarea, the assembly was hungry for the whole counsel of God. I want you to think on these points that we can learn from this assembly in Acts chapter 10. The readiness. We see that Cornelius responded to his instruction, his divine instruction, immediately. And when the Apostle Peter got there, they were all present. They were ready. The reverence before God. They realize they're in the presence of God. We need to do things decently in order when we come here. Do things that we have authority to do and leave the other alone. Respect the silence of the Scriptures. God has given us the pattern of the New Testament, and that's the way that we're to worship Him. And when we do so in spirit and truth, with the heart, He's always wanted that, with the heart and with the truth, we're not only realizing the presence of God, we respect that. And I believe that's the only way it will go. Our worship will go up to Him as a sweet-smelling aroma. He will accept it. And I know we all desire that. But their reason to come together was to hear all the things commanded, God commanded Peter to speak to them. We should desire this in our assemblies. Let's do what we can to improve our assemblies. Let's invite others to come. Let's follow this pattern of Cornelius. At what point were they saved? They were saved when they were baptized, just like all the accounts that we see. Yes, God was showing His approval that the gospel was not just for the Jews, it was also for the Gentiles. And they received the Holy Spirit just like the apostles did in Acts 2 when the gospel was preached to the Jews. Showing God's approval. Showing that God is behind this. That He wants this. This is being done by His will. But they were baptized just as they were commanded to do. And in Acts 11, if you'll take the time to read that follow-up chapter, when the Apostle Peter left Caesarea and he went to Jerusalem, they had a lot of questions for him. And he had to show them that God was behind this. This is what God desires. God desires that you hear His word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And don't stop there. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Be faithful unto death. And we're promised that we'll have the crown of life. If you need to respond to the gospel call this morning, please come while together we stand and sing.